Welcome back to Kicks and Picks podcast. Nick and Scotty with you. Sorry, I'm looking at the Twitter here. I was just making sure that the tweet went live. So apologies for the delay there. Scotty, good week for us here. EPL champion, as you see on his tag, rocking the shirt here in solidarity. We had a good week. We were able to hang out in person, long overdue. I was up in New York for the weekend. So that was fun. We got Liverpool taking care of business. The Florida Panthers taking care of business. Coach Steve may join us a little bit later in the show. Everything's coming up aces right now. So I'm ready to win some money.
Yeah, it's, the nervous part of my season is now done. Liverpool have virtually nothing left to play for. They've locked up the league. They've got four games left. They get four guards of honor. Would like to see them crack 90 points again this season. I think that'd give them their fourth or fifth season in the past decade with 90 plus points. So wouldn't mind that. That's three more wins. They got, Chelsea, Arsenal, Crystal Palace, one more. So it's doable. But yeah, other than that, it's just getting to watch everybody else fight it out for these last few Champions League slots. And should be pretty interesting.
And you mentioned it, man. It's a dogfight right now. Nottingham Forest, what a disappointing result today. Disappointing month for them. They've lost three out of their last four. To drop down to sixth place. So I'll just take you guys through it. Arsenal, second place, 67. Newcastle, third, 62. City, fourth, 61. Chelsea, Forest, fifth and sixth, respectively, on 60 points. And then you got Villa right behind in seventh at 57. I hate to say it, but I'm about to put the stamp on it. Looks like Man City are going to get into the Champions League next year. I know we had a lot of hope for a long time that some of these other teams would play up. They'd take advantage of City's poor form, but City has turned it around just in time. And nine losses, probably more than they've had the last 3 years put together in the league. They're going to get back into Champions League. So RIP, our hopes and dreams.
Yeah, I mean, remaining schedule this week, they're home to Wolves. Then they're at Southampton. That should be pretty easy. One of the worst Premier League teams in the last probably five or six seasons. Home to Bournemouth, with the way that Bournemouth has been kind of dipping in form, should be winnable. And then away to Fulham if it matters at that point. And frankly, I don't know that it will. It'd be kind of a miracle if the other teams keep pace. That'd be, 9 points out of nine, just to stay within shouting distance. So yeah, I tend to agree. City will be in Champions League next year. Pep will be back for his final year in charge, hopefully. And we'll see what kind of business they do in the summer, because yeah, you got to imagine that the pocketbooks are going to be opened for the blue team in Manchester.
No question. Another £300 million window incoming. So especially after, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say a summer of international games where, it's Club World Cup. I'm not necessarily going to call that an international tournament. None of these players that they'll be scouting are going to be in the Gold Cup, or very few. So
yeah,
I was going to say maybe they'll get hit with some inflated player prices, but probably not.
No, unlikely.
Yeah.
The only thing that might cause a little bit of inflated prices is the fact that I think there's gonna be like two or three clubs that are gonna be spending a lot. Like, I think Liverpool will be spending a lot this summer. I think Chelsea
are
another expensive summer. I could see United, now that they have a manager that they really want to back in Amorim, could see them spending quite a bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if you have two or three of these clubs targeting similar players and driving up the wages, similar to we saw with Chelsea and Liverpool a few summers ago with, Caicedo and Labia.
And listen, don't forget Arsenal and Newcastle. These are two clubs on the cusp, and Arsenal still with a chance to do something this year. We'll talk about that in a little bit. They have no shortage of money to spend.
Yeah, Newcastle are a little hamstrung by financial fair play.
Until they make a few sales.
Yeah, they're going to have to sell, right? That's the thing. And that players that they sell, depending on who it is, might be prime targets for some of these other clubs. So
question.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll see. Should be an interesting one. But let's get into it. It's actually a really, really stacked week in EPL. So we're going to try to touch on most of these games here. Johnny, what's going on? Thank you for joining as always. First one up, Saturday morning, Villa at home to Fulham. Villa is minus 130 on the money line. Fulham plus 340, the draw at plus 280. And we mentioned it, Villa 3 points out of that sixth spot, fifth and sixth spot, 4 points behind City. They need points. They are at home. They're getting a minus 130 number. You're going to have to do an awful lot to talk me off of just backing Villa here on the money line. Other than I think I'm like 1-33 betting on games involving Fulham this year.
Yeah, Fulham have been brutal to nail down. The good news is Villa have been probably one of the better teams in the last 6 weeks in England. Have been playing really well. I think they've got two losses since beginning of February. Certainly turning up the heat, which has really put them back in play for a Champions League spot. You know, they had a little bit of a tough November, December period, but kind of saw them fall behind. But they've caught up to the pack, and they've been doing it with a really strong offense. You know, they went in January, they bought brought in a couple guys to kind of shore up that front line, give Ollie Watkins some help. Rashford obviously being one of those, really looks a lot better playing for Villa than he was for those last 18 months playing for United. So certainly helpful there. I agree. I would take Villa money line at home. Fulham, for whatever it's worth, can show up and just turn things around on it, or turn things on their head. I'd also like goals a lot in this one. So the question for me is, you know, what's the right angle with the goals? The total itself is pretty tough, but you know, both teams to score and over 2.5, I think that's playable. I'm pulling that up right now.
Yeah, an Aston Villa team total, man.
Plus one, even money. Yeah.
Perfect. Villa team total is minus 135. So, I mean, that's right there with the money line. It's the age-old debate that we have just about every week on this show. What's a safer bet and what's a better bet? Two goals and you kind of have to stop sweating. So I don't mind that angle on it either, but you do take kind of that 1-0 win out of play.
Yeah. I think we're pretty aligned. Villa money line for sure. If you like over 1.5, by all means, you can take that, or team total over 1.5. Both teams to score over 2.5 at even money, I think, is maybe my favorite pick out of this. I just hope that Fulham don't no show on this. And honestly, like Villa, this team, like if you just wait for the starting lineups, like usually you'll get one guy that starts that is unexpected on the forward line. You can take him, shot on target, get pretty good value on it.
Yeah, 100%. Asensio has been like a monster for shot on target props. Yep. Looks like they're starting to catch up a little bit, but wait, see what that line looks like. I think there's going to be some value on somebody. So with you, 100%.
Sure.
Next up, Arsenal taking on Bournemouth. Arsenal at home in this one. They are the favorites, plus 115. Bournemouth plus 235 away. No real mobility for either of these teams, right? I don't think Arsenal are in any danger of falling out of the top five. Bournemouth can't really make a move up. But Arsenal do have something very important to play for the following week. So is this a spot where you think we could fade Arsenal? Bournemouth is plus 145. Draw no bet. I'm going to get their spread number here in a second. They are minus 110. Plus a quarter of a goal, and they're even minus 140 on the double chance. Do you think any of those numbers make sense for Bournemouth?
It's tough, man, because I loved watching Bournemouth for a good period of time between, you know, December, January, you know, right around that mid-season mark. They were so hot. You know, Iriola had them running rampant through the league. They're causing everybody difficulty. Had some big wins. I think they beat Newcastle by like 3 or 4 goals, beat Forest by like 5-0. Like, dude, they were unbelievable. And then they've really kind of fallen off. You know, they have just the one win since beginning of March. Early March, just the one win in 8 games. So hard to kind of back them on the road here. Arsenal, man, they looked so good for like 20 or 30 minutes against PSG on Tuesday. And I almost made me feel like they were actually going to get a result. Didn't quite come through for them, but in the form that they're in at home, I know there's really nothing on the line for them. I don't really love this Bournemouth team in the form that they're in. So, you know, plus 115 is tempting.
That's the other way to look at it, right? Like, you're getting Arsenal at home at a plus number. Doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, this is almost one that it feels very draw-like to me. You know, plus 245 on the draw line wouldn't be terrible.
I can totally see it.
I don't know. Any other angles that we have on this? I don't trust any sort of offense in this game either, but who's to say with Bournemouth?
I mean, the question comes down to, you know, do you think Bournemouth could score a goal? If we think they're scoring, I kind of like them on the spread. I like a both teams to score. It's a little chalky. It's like minus 140, minus 145 range, depending on your book. But, you know, I highly doubt Arsenal get shut out at home, even if they are rotating heavily. So going to be a kind of wait and see match. I think you have to check lineups. You have to see what Arsenal's going into this game with. But if you believe Bournemouth could score a goal, I think there's a ton of value. Arsenal has to be looking ahead to the Champions League. There's no two ways about it. We had this same exercise 2 weeks ago, and I think we went like 5 for 5, you know, fading the teams that had Champions League coming up. So no reason not to look at that angle for this game.
Yeah, that's fair. But I still think it'll be interesting to watch. You know, I think Evan Nielsen will be out for Bournemouth, so that kind of hurts their forward line a little bit. I kind of ranted about him last week on the pod, how he's been letting me down with shot on target parlays, and then he goes and picks up a red card in whatever the 70th minute and blows the game against United, I think.
Yeah, brutal.
So we'll see. We'll see how they line up with their forwards. Semenyo is probably going to be the main guy, maybe Kluivert. So you know, honestly, like an under in that. Kind of talking myself into it, weirdly enough, because like you said, Arsenal probably going to rotate, probably gonna be playing more, a little more conservative. I could see this being like a 1-1-0, 2-0 game. Under 2.5 is -120.
Yeah,
I don't mind that.
Under 2.25, -145, even if you want a little extra protection on it.
Yeah,
not terrible. Fernando, what's up, brother? Thank you for joining us, man. All right. I mean, I think we got that one covered. Next up, Brighton at home to Newcastle. Newcastle +135 favorite on the road. Brighton +180. The draw +265.
Big spot for Newcastle.
A massive
big spot.
I mean, disappointing. Two weeks ago, who did they lose to? Where I can't even mentally get over the fact that they lost the game because we thought they were going to be able to make a push here for second place.
They got smoked by Villa at Villa. Yeah,
that's what it was.
It's tough, but like, but the form that Villa was in, 4-1.
4-1, yeah, okay. Yeah. And it was a three-goal win there. So not really sure. And Brighton's kind of been in free fall. I know they picked up a win last week, but I think they've come back down to earth a little bit. I still believe they've had a very successful season. Danny Welbeck, I mean, good for him, man. He's kind of like resurrected his career, so... Fun to watch, but I just don't know what to make of this Newcastle side. It's kind of been the same the entire year for me. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, this is a team that has 10 losses in the league. I mean, that's kind of a lot of losses for a team that's in third place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's who are we getting? Are we getting Newcastle or New Trashle? That's kind of where we've been kind of talking about it in the chat. I'd say the one good sign for Newcastle is that this Brighton defense has been pretty poor. Last five games in a row, allowing at least 2 goals to their opponent in the Premier League. So lines up well for a Newcastle team that's going to need 3 points. Certainly where their strength is in their attack. You know, Alexander Isak has been pretty consistent. I think he's basically been scoring every other game or scoring or assisting every other game for them. So certainly a good opportunity for goals in that vein. Their team total over 1.5 -120. Yeah, I think that's probably my play in this one.
Yep.
Because like I said, Brighton, I haven't really been able to nail down too much this year, similar to Fulham. I usually fade them when they play well, and then once I start to buy into them, they drop a deuce, and they've been playing pretty poorly over the last, you know, 6-8 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to necessarily pick against them at home. I think Newcastle should get the 3 points, but if Brighton show up and manage to pick apart Newcastle's back line, which has happened here and there this season, I wouldn't be surprised. So I'll just take the over 1.5 team total.
No, I dig it. That's kind of what I was leaning towards. -120, I think, is a really strong number for Newcastle to grab, too. Fernando here, don't overthink it. Newcastle +135 is a really strong number for a third-place team, right? I feel like that's going to be a theme for us as we go through all of these games here. There's a lot of don't overthink it. Let's just, you know, we know who these teams are for the most part. Let's see what we can squeeze out of them, but that's a good one for me. I'm trying to look here. The books have caught on. Sandro Tonali, man, he was getting shot on target numbers in like the +400 range last couple of weeks, and now he's +210. So Don't know that I'll be playing it. He is averaging a shot on target, I think, every other game. So still something to look at, but I don't think we're going to play it this week.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Another shot in the dark player prop that you might want to watch out for, Harvey Barnes, assist, plus 475. He's been playing decent past couple weeks. So if he stays hot, feeds Isak, it's not a bad number for a little shot in the dark play.
Yeah, I dig that. Anytime you're giving me plus 400 or better on any player prop, I'm automatically interested. So, you know, in a worthwhile
if you can make sense of it.
Yes. Sorry. Denzel Dumfries to score too against Barcelona. If anybody had that one, probably plus 20,000. The next one up, man, Brentford at home to Man United. Brentford, another team that, you know, they've been, I think they are having a successful season, but they're kind of just the run of the mill, score as much as they concede, win as much as they lose. They've been kind of hot lately. We've talked about United enough. United are winless in what, 7 or 8 games?
Yeah, they're terrible.
The Premier League, but they're like about to win a European competition, and that's driving me nuts.
It's driving a lot of people nuts.
And it's making me wonder, like, am I really going to come into this game, take the 14th place team in the Premier League away from home? Why am I considering them at like plus 390 on the money line?
You shouldn't, because outside of Europe, United have been terrible. I can't think of like a single stretch where they've put together 3 good games in a row all season long. They don't do anything really well offensively or defensively. It's just, they've been a complete mess and circus for years now. I mean, it's just not something that Amorim is going to be able to turn around quickly, I don't think. And Brentford, you know, coach was out here telling us he liked Forest at home plus number on the money line today. Brentford came out, took care of business, got a clean sheet, scored a pair of goals. Like, really can't ask for much more from an away side. So, I mean, I think the only thing that works against them or would work against them is the fact that it's kind of a quick turnaround, but United are doing the same thing. So United played today. So they're kind of even on that. So I don't know. I mean, my gut just tells me everything points to another Brentford win. Minus 155 on the money line isn't really playable though. And honestly, like, if we even look at team props, what's their over 1.5 is minus 165. There's not much here. So I don't know.
Man United on the spread, that would be the only way to play this game. And I don't, you know, again, like, let's watch out for recency bias, because they looked good today against who they even play.
United? Athletic Club.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's a solid win, I think.
I mean, you had Harry Maguire playing out on the wing, you know, putting the left back on ice skates and getting a cross into the box, so Maybe on paper, but it didn't look too great on the pitch.
Fair enough. I don't know. Just for as bad as United have been, I don't know that they should be a plus 400 on the money line. That's all I'm trying to say.
Honestly, I might just go with like a both teams to score no on this. It's plus 115.
Okay.
You know, Brentford put up 2 today. Probably should score at home, but, you know, crazy things have happened. United not scoring would be very, you know, within realm here. Going back, let's see, last 6 games, that's hit 3 out of the 6 times, plus 115. All right. So
I dig it. You've convinced me. I was really trying to come on and see if anybody had any positive things to say about United, but
no,
I can't try anymore.
It's funny too, like, when you bet these games now, like, the books have it pinned. You got to get creative there. If you really want to bet a United game, you have to try to find like a weird angle. So, good luck to all who are participating in this one.
If anybody's on United, man, let us know. Show us your bet. Show us your ticket. Let's talk about United Light, Tottenham. They're away to West Ham, plus 205. West Ham, favorites. Maybe the first time we're saying that all season, plus 125.
Yeah.
I guess Tottenham have a tougher situation in the return leg, because they did give up a goal, so they're only up 3-1 on aggregate. I guess Bodo is okay. I don't know, but another team that, I don't know, like, this game couldn't mean less. I mean, I don't know, like, West Ham could pass Tottenham in the standings, maybe. Is that good for something? I'm finding it really hard to find anything I like, but I kind of lean Tottenham draw no bet plus 125.
Man, I'm almost going the other way, and this is certainly a recency bias because when Liverpool, you know, they didn't even show up to Liverpool. Let's be honest. They scored the opening goal, which was kind of like a mini gut check time for Liverpool, and then they came out and scored five unanswered, and probably honestly should have had eight, but they were just dicking around for the last rest of the second half, trying to get Salah a goal, trying to get Harvey Elliott a goal, trying to get whoever comes into the, you know, the pitch a goal. And so this Tottenham team, I would almost consider taking a West Ham over 2.5 team total because this Tottenham team is so bad.
Oh man.
I mean, over 1.5 is minus 130. That's playable.
It doesn't make, when has West Ham scored three goals in a game?
When they play Tottenham.
There you go.
Let's see, Tottenham, let's see, in Premier League, let's go back. I'm going to go back a couple games. Right. We'll ignore the European teams.
Hedge, we got you here, Hedgie. We just talked about United. What's your bet for them this week? They're plus 400 on the money line, man. You back in your squad? Wait, first you got to congratulate Scotty. Well done.
Yeah, he did, as he should. While he responds, five of the last eight, Tottenham have conceded two or more goals. Of the three where they didn't, it's Southampton, Chelsea, and... Nope, just kidding. Five of the last seven. Chelsea and Southampton are the two that haven't done it. So
okay.
Well, I'll happily take
West Ham are on par with those two teams or better?
Certainly better than Southampton. Chelsea, you know, who knows? They're an enigma, but...
When was the last time West Ham won a game? It's just so okay. You know what? I'm trying to talk myself out of West Ham instead of doing the responsible thing and agreeing with you and with telling everybody the advice I always tell them in a situation like this. These odds don't make sense. West Ham should never really be a favorite to anyone but their favorites. So maybe we just follow the odds.
Yeah. I mean, this could very easily be like a 2-2, 3-2 game. And who knows who gets the third goal for their team. But when has the Spurs team ever been good defensively and kept, you know, just talked about the last seven games. I'm talking like season long, right? Like that's just not how they play under Ange. So, I'll happily take West Ham getting two at home at minus 130. It's very playable. And again, recency bias, Liverpool put up five, could have had eight. I don't think this Tottenham team really has their head in the game in the Premier League right now.
More than fair. Checked out. They got one sole focus going forward. Over 2.5 team total, plus 240. Just saying.
Yeah.
Crazier shit.
I mean, looking at goal score props too. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, the first four players in the shortest odds are all West Ham players. You got to get to Richarlison as the first Tottenham player, which doesn't even make sense. It should be Solanke at plus 235. Who, honestly, if you want a player prop, Solanke plus 235 scored against Liverpool. He was a 20-goal scorer for Bournemouth. Got hurt.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, his entire season got derailed. Like,
seems like he's healthy-ish now.
Yeah.
I don't hate that.
No, I'm kind of with you. Speaking of, let's move on to your boys here. Taking on Chelsea. Chelsea gripping on to that fifth spot ahead of Forest. Don't look now. Chelsea kind of look maybe a little bit okay. I don't know.
You sound so convinced.
No, but I mean, they're on a decent run of form. They're in fifth place. I mean, I know I haven't had really anything good to say about them. They're a little bit of a disaster, but like they are in fifth place. Plus 120 at home. Do you think I think they need three. I don't know if they're going to get it, but what's Poole's strategy coming into this game? Finish the season strong? Are they looking to get Salah goals and assists so he can chase a record? Or are they looking to rotate and get some of the younger guys and some of the bench players some minutes?
Definitely not. Like I said, they have nothing left. There's no Champions League. There's no FA Cup. They're virtually on vacation. So maybe that's the angle here. It's like, hey, they're basically checked out. But with all that said, they've lost two games in England all season long. Sitting there at plus 130 draw no bet. I don't know how I pass that up, even as a Liverpool homer.
No,
knowing that when I bet on my team, they always lose.
Liverpool at plus 215 on the money line.
So, you know, I'm not going to say that their offense has been cured. Offensive issues been cured with that five goal outburst against Spurs. I think that was just like a bunch of contributing factors all coming into play. But, you know, Chelsea's, again, not exactly like the most robust of defense. And I don't know, I can see them getting a couple goals against a Chelsea team that is prone to slip ups all season long.
Plus 115, two goals from Liverpool.
Plus 215?
Plus 115 for two goals. Oh,
okay. I was going to say, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't hate that either. Salah, I think, is going to get something, right? Like, he's definitely shooting for a 30-20 season, which he's very close to doing. So he'll get something. I don't know. Do you really want to bet on this Chelsea team to score three?
I haven't wanted to bet on the Chelsea team all year. I don't think I'm going to start now.
No. So but my preference, draw no bet, plus 130. I'm happily taking that. I don't need to overthink it. Do I think there's going to be a lot of goals in this? Maybe. You know, I could see, like, worst case 2-2 for a Liverpool perspective, but I don't think Chelsea are getting three.
More than fair. Liverpool plus a quarter, minus 115. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just saying.
I'm keeping it simple. Maybe that's smarter, but...
I myself out.
Yeah. Dude, over 3.5 at plus 135. But, I mean, what's the three at? Is that playable?
Minus 120.
Yeah, I mean, that's playable.
No.
I wouldn't mind that either.
Yeah, check it out. So, yeah, just interesting to see, like I said, how Poole approaches the game, who's going to start, and, you know, what Chelsea are going to do. They need points, but they're also on short rest. And they're also, well, I think they won pretty handily today, right? They won like 4-1. So I don't think they're in jeopardy with their next tie. But
also, I don't think Chelsea have beaten Liverpool in like years. I think they've gotten like close with some of the finals, EFL and FA Cup. Excuse me, but like the draws are like their biggest results. I think Liverpool have pretty much owned them since COVID.
No doubt. And last one up, we got Crystal Palace at home to Nottingham Forest. Palace, outside shot maybe to finish in the top half.
Yeah.
If they do the thing. And then we got Forest, man, who's, like we said, probably the most disappointing month of any team. They're an underdog here. They're underdog away. Plus 205, and Palace is plus 135. You know as well as I do that I never get Crystal Palace right. This year has not been any different.
Correct.
But I'm thinking these odds are telling a story that we should just read. And I don't really like Forest in this game. I just think they've been too bad.
No, I mean, I agree. You got to give a huge hat tip to Palace and the way that they're able to just continuously develop offensive talent. You know, they lose Olise to Bayern, who was having a great season by all measures. Thought that was going to be a huge step back for them, but turns out it's not. They're still churning out, you know, players in the attack that can score and create, you know, amazing goals. Etse has been playing really well. Mateta has been pretty strong and consistent. So credit to them. This Forest team, when they were rolling, was rolling because they had a great defense. I think they had the best defense in the league for a long period of time. That is no longer the case. They are dropped back considerably. They now are averaging over a goal a game allowed. So, yeah, I mean, Palace at home at plus 135, definitely super playable. Again, it's another game where I might just be willing to take a team total with Palace over 1.5 being plus 115. So, you know, I'm on Palace both ways here. I think, again, Forest played today, 4 days rest. I guess 5 days. This is a Monday game, right? So, or is it Sunday? Four? Monday something game. Like that. You know, Palace have been resting all week, so they'll be ready to go. At home. So yep. I'll take them either way. Give me money line, give me over 1.5 team total, or both.
I'm with you there, man. I can't back Forest. I can't tell anybody to back Forest. I would love to see them bounce back and win, but I have to see it, actually, before they get any money the rest of the season. Yeah. Just where I'm at. Yeah, so loaded slate this week. A lot of good games. Should be some good ones. I think we've pretty much covered it. I do want to take a quick pause to shout ourselves out with our Champions League. You know, the results that came in this week. Let's just, you know, quickly talk about the games. Yeah. PSG, 1-0 win. Scored early. Absorbed a lot of pressure. Donnarumma had an awesome game. Awesome.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
And we gave out PSG at plus 1600. And then our other bet was Inter, I believe, at plus 1800. I have to look at the slip. I have to go back at the episode. It was either plus 1800 or plus 2000. And they had a 3-3 thriller with Barcelona, a game where, I mean, it's tough for me to say that any team plays well when you give up three goals, but a game that I would almost say Inter deserved to win.
Yeah, almost. I will say, I don't think you can say any team deserves to win when they concede three goals. Either way. You concede three goals, you can't be hard-pressed. I get that, you know, Inter had a very, very tight offsides in air quote call go against them. And that's maybe where you feel a little more hard done. But, you know, at the end of the day, you had a two-goal lead, and then it evaporated within 20 minutes. You couldn't even get to halftime with a lead. You know, you score two goals in the first 20 minutes, you can't get to halftime with a lead. So deserved equal footing for both teams here. But yeah, I mean, this is a game that we were wrong. We were so wrong from the jump on this in the group chat that we were able to kind of like fade ourselves quickly enough to like make money off of how wrong we were.
We hit two live bets very, very easily. A halftime live score and, you know, like I think like 2 minutes after the second half, I put in over 5.5 goals, and that hit by like the 70th minute. So,
I mean,
made up for it anyway.
Went into this fully expecting it to be low scoring, thinking Inter would be very happy to just kind of keep things close and come back to San Siro with, you know, a very, you know, winnable result. Was not the case. Came out hot. And I think that really just the fact that Inter scored the opening goal really set the tone for everything. It gave them a little bit of confidence to come out and play a little bit more open style game than we traditionally see them doing in Serie A. And then Barcelona like had a little bit of urgency. They kind of wanted to come in, control the game, maybe rack up a couple goals, and then have a nice lead going into Italy, but not the case. So quickly was wrong in that, was able to pivot, saw once that the field kind of tilt towards Inter's goal and Barcelona start dominating play, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a 2-2 game at halftime. So we nailed that one. We nailed like a live total over 3.5 for plus money. Almost had Barcelona draw no bet. I thought I had them at plus money. Thought they were going to get a winner by the end of it, but still, great game overall. I mean, some really great goals too, right? Thuram with his back heel flick to open things in the first minute was crazy.
Dumfries fucking bicycle kick.
Lamine Yamal, fucking nasty little curler.
Yep. Just
great goals all around. And Rafinha almost had a couple like screamers too. So. Yeah. Well played to both teams. Very excited to see how this turns around in Italy.
Listen, is it unfair to expect another 3-3? Yeah, but I think Inter are going to have to go in knowing that they can't sit back and, you know, hope for, you know, 1-2 goal game. It's just not going to be the way. You have to come at Barca. You have to attack them. You have to hit your counters. They did it successfully, but like you said, a couple worldy goals got them the three. You're going to need a lot more out of your forward line, you know, just in terms of build up play and hold up play. So let's see what happens. But if Inter were to make it to the final, I mean, we're looking, you know, we've given out Champions League future the past 2 years successfully. We're looking to make it year three. I don't think we could be in a better spot necessarily than we are right now. We have a chance for both of our tickets to make it to the final. So let's hope for that.
Shout out my pessimism, because we locked in the plus 1600 after Liverpool barely squeezed out a 1-0 win in Paris, and it looked like PSG should have had five. And I was quick to say, listen, if they beat Liverpool in this, which they very well can, they're going to have a very clear path to the final at the very least, and kind of nailed that. So,
yeah. And listen, shout out Arsenal, I guess, because they played well. I don't want to take anything away from them. I'm certainly not rooting for them. Of all the teams left, I'd like Arsenal the least. But they certainly have a fighting chance in that next leg. So let's see what happens. But let's segue over to Italy. I'll quickly give out the standings. A lot of games are a little whack this week, some mismatches. So we'll only go through the key ones here. But what everybody needs to know is Inter have dropped two games in a row in Serie A. We mentioned Scotty was the first to say it. I came on the following week and, you know, said, hey, listen, there's a very real possibility they do not get even 3 points out of their next two games. They wound up getting zero. They lost to Bologna. They lost to Roma. So they are now in second place. Napoli on the heels of three straight wins, 74 points, three ahead of them. Atalanta can't seem to get out of their own way. It's almost like they want to give up a top four spot, but I don't think anybody else necessarily wants it. They're in third with 65. Juve now up to fourth in 62. Bologna dropped down to 61. Roma, Lazio, Fiorentina, 60, 60, 59, respectively. Milan won a game, so good for them. They're in ninth.
Yeah. It's a participation trophy for them. Top half of the table. Good job.
Yeah. They are doing better than Manchester United and Tottenham, if that,
that is true. Okay. That is fair. They did do that. So, man, dude, Napoli, I just had to look out of curiosity because we did give out Napoli plus 250 when I was on, plus 200 when you were on the week later. They're now minus 450. It's crazy. Like, that's not done and dusted, but pretty much all done and dusted.
McTominay, Scotty, I'll allow you to apologize if you feel that it's right for you to do so. McTominay with goals in three straight games. Bro is absolutely carrying with the lack of like any other offense coming out of anybody on Napoli. Obviously not his job. He plays well in the midfield, but this dude has shown up when it matters. I know we got Leg in the chat who is a believer as well. So Leg, shout out us. And Scotty will give him a chance to apologize.
Do you want me to put my Napoli hater hat back on again?
You can,
I'll do
whatever,
it.
You can do whatever you need to do. You need who to did, say who did, you feel is right.
Who did McTominay score against? What were the teams?
I don't know. I have
not was it, was it Torino, Monza, and Empoli by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. I rest my case.
It's got 11 goals this year, man, as a midfielder. I mean, it's pretty good.
How many of those goals came against teams in the top half of the table?
I'd have to look. I don't know.
He's much like our boy Lukaku, he might be a bottom half of the country slash table merchant.
Oh, there's no doubt. Wait, also, just shout out him really quickly. Lukaku somehow leads the league in assists.
Well, I mean,
like, if you leads get rid of Kvara,
get rid of Kvara, might as well.
Excuse me, I was told Rafael Leao is the greatest footballer on the planet. Why doesn't he lead the league in assists?
I thought his assist was his biggest flaw in his game. Thought he was a ball hog.
Shooting is.
I don't know. I have to revisit Martino's timeline. I feel like he gets a lot of these, like, he has to deal with a lot of these comments. No, no, I feel a lot of them are, he doesn't
listen to our good friend Martino. His like XA numbers are off the chart. It's loser forwards cannot finish everything Leao gives them on a silver platter. That is Martino's take. So
the only metric that is somehow more Fugazi than XG, XA.
That's a fact. So let's get into the two big games this weekend. Just quickly for knowledge, Napoli are away to Lecce. They're minus 200 favorites. Inter are at home to Hellas Verona. They're minus 300 favorites. So really not much happening there. Leg coming in clutch with the stat, three goals against the top six for Sauce. Thank you. Yes, all game winners. He had a game winner 2 weeks ago. Scotty, you know, conveniently left that out. Win's a win. We have battle of top four, four and five here. Bologna is at home to Juve. As a reminder, Juve is 1 point ahead in fourth. Bologna plus 145, Juve plus 195, draw plus 195. The drawiest draw game if I ever saw one in my life. I don't even know that I want to talk about this game other than it could very likely be a draw. But do you think Bologna are the deserved favorites here at home? Do you like them to bounce back? Or do you think Juve have found enough form under their new coach to get a result here?
Yeah, certainly not that. Good. You know, Juve on the road haven't gotten a win in almost a month.
Love to hear it.
So I think that's really where this is going. If they are getting anything out of this game, it's going to be because of a draw. That's the way that I see it. So... yeah, I think Bologna definitely a deserved favorite in this one. Don't know that I'm taking them on the money line. The draw no bet at minus 140 fucking sucks. It's like just out of reach in terms of being playable. So I don't know. I mean, again, draw sitting there at plus 195 makes sense because that's really where this feels like it's going.
Both teams to score minus 105. I just think that's insanely right there. 1-1. Right, this has like 1-1 written all over it.
Yeah, well, I mean, who's scoring for Juve?
Damn, you stumped me.
Because that's what you always say to me. That's why.
Somebody's got to score, I think.
Going to go Kola Muani? No.
Maybe. I don't know. He hasn't scored since like his second game.
So
I don't think. Who's scored? I'm trying to think who scored for them last week. Let's see if we can look something smart up here.
I'm going to see
who Bologna, man. Very, very disappointing. Oh, yeah. 0-0 draw to Udinese.
Locatelli scored against Roma. That's who it was.
Gonzalez and Colomwani scored last game.
Okay. So Colomwani would be your hope here.
I guess.
Unless you really want to. I mean, you talked me off of Locatelli, I think, shot on target the other day. So I'm going to go ahead and guess that means you're not a Locatelli believer.
He's had a very, very, very good year for Juventus. I'm not a fan of his, but he's been very good for them. So I really have nothing negative to say. I think he fits in well kind of in this Tudor system of being just like a true midfielder, not having to carry any offensive load or burden. I don't know. I think they get on the score sheet, man. I think this is a both teams to score match for me. Minus 105. I think the number is just too good.
All right, that's fair. It's not out yet. I'd like to take Orsolini goal or assist because he's anytime goal scorer is +230, I think. I just had it. +290, excuse me. So I feel like goal or assist probably going to get a nice
+150.
I was going to say might be closer to +200 than that, +175. He only has, what, 4 or 5 assists this season?
Yeah,
not that
many. Yeah,
so, but I'd still want it just in case he gives a nice little tap into somebody. So I don't know. That feels like a decent play for me. Otherwise, I don't know. I really wish if that number Drano bet for Bologna comes closer to -130, I'll hop all over it. I might even live bet it. I don't expect this to be a blazing first half. So
that's fair.
See that being a play.
And listen, if anybody's not a believer in both teams to score, no goal scorer is +700. Just saying.
So you're saying 0-0.
So I just recently learned this, and I think I was listening to Stoppage Time, and great podcast if anybody hasn't listened to it. And if you take no goal scorer, if there's an own goal, you still win that bet.
Oh,
if it's like a 1-0, but the goal was an own goal, there's technically not a goal scorer. So it's like a better bet theoretically to take than like a 0-0 correct score or an under half or anything like that. So
yeah. Shout out Leg, +170 Orsolini goal or assist. I'm 100% locking.
There you go. Leg, will you be taking it? If you tell us right now you'll be taking it, then that we're going to make it our play of the week.
I'll speak for Leg. He's taking it. If he did the legwork, pardon the pun, to give us the odds on that, it means he was intrigued by it enough to be willing to take it.
All right, like we're holding you to it.
No, dude. He's saying no. Well, too late. Like,
well,
I've already committed you to it. So
one or Juve. Okay, gross. So you like terrorism? Okay, we got it. We understand. We. What the. Looking at Leg a whole lot differently than I was 5 minutes ago. It's fine. Man, we got AC Milan at Genoa, -135 AC Milan. That's
ninth place AC Milan.
Yeah, I don't know. The Genoa stinks too. Don't want to talk about it. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
So both teams to stink, both teams score, but that's probably like -200, both teams to score. Is that right?
Yeah. So next one up with big implications here is Roma at home to Fiorentina. Again, Roma is exactly 1 point ahead of Fiorentina. So big, big game. Roma -155. Fiorentina +400. Draws +270. I have to imagine these odds are based on Roma's current form.
For sure.
And it's based on the fact that Fiorentina are in the Conference League. They're actually trailing. They do have to they stay at home, which is good, so they won't have to necessarily travel, but they do have, it's a short turnaround between games. So that's why I have to imagine they're +400, +290 draw no bet. But I kind of, and this is not any anti-Roma shit because I backed Roma the last, I think, 3 weeks on the show. I backed them to beat Inter and they did. I think Fiorentina +1 at -140 is really, really intriguing.
It is. I'll make it even more intriguing for you. Roma haven't beat Fiorentina in the last 2 years. It's been a while. Got smoked in the opening or the first leg of this matchup this season, 5-1. Then a couple draws, then a loss again at Fiorentina, 2-1 at Fiorentina. So not exactly Roma's favorite opponent by any measure. fair enough on what Fiorentina have going on outside of this game and obviously Roma's form. But yeah, I think Fiorentina on the spread is a good play here for sure.
And I'm looking too, dude. I don't believe he's hurt. I have to imagine he's starting. Moise Kean, who is the second leading goal scorer in Serie A, is sitting at +330 to get a goal. I don't know. Like, that's just kind of right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Roma's defense has definitely been strong. So I guess that's really where the books are looking at this. Like, Roma, I mean, what's the team total for Fiorentina? I'm guessing over 1.5 is probably a big number. +280. Yeah. Unbelievable. Dude, honestly, like, both teams, if you like Moise Kean in this, both teams to score, then it has to be
Solid. We're getting late breaking one news head. Here. Did not start today. Thank you, Drew.
Uh-oh. Honestly, I don't mind both teams to score at -110. With or without Moise Kean. Is that a bold statement?
No. No, I think Fiorentina get in the score sheet. I really do. That's why I like them at +1.
Yeah. Okay. I like both teams to score then at -110. I think that's where I'm going to put my eggs, the basket I'm putting all my eggs in.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And I just think for as good as Roma have been, just this spread is way too large.
Mm-hmm.
Even after all the circumstances we just talked about, it just doesn't make sense. Anytime we've seen something like this, if it doesn't pass the smell test, you know, if you came in and told me Roma were like +130 and Fiorentina was like -300, I'd kind of buy it and I'd probably be on Roma, but the spread is just too far away. So
yeah,
I'm with you. Both teams to score. Fiorentina +1, Moise Kean, if healthy, +330. Silly, silly number.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. No. I thought I liked a shot on target play, but it's -130. Yeah, if you're doing a shot on target parlay, Goodwinson is -130. So I don't mind that.
Yeah, I imagine he has to be starting then.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just making sure we're not missing any other big game here. I think we got it.
All right.
Wrap it up there. Guys, shout out. Thank you all for being in the chat. Thank you guys for listening. Hit us with a like, with a subscribe. Hit the retweet button. Good luck on your bets this weekend. Definitely next week, root for Inter and PSG.
Yes, please. We need it.
And we will be with you guys next week. Thanks again.